Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time to come here. I ask that you be with the pastor. Give him the words to speak and open our hearts to hear it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Take your Bibles with me and turn to two passages, if you would. Thank you, praise team. Deuteronomy 28, if you take your Bible and turn there first. And then in a few minutes we'll be over in 2 Corinthians, as you see on the back of your bulletin there for the outline. So Deuteronomy 28, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Nobody, and there's no one here who's not aware of the difficulty that our country's been facing over the last year. The deficit in our current year's federal budget is $1.35 trillion. If all 300 million Americans, in addition to their regular taxes, gave in taxation $4,500, that would take care of this year's deficit. That's a lot of money. But the total deficit is $12 trillion. The interest on our federal debt will soon be unmanageable. I've always believed that God deals with nations in time and individuals in eternity. A nation which follows godly principles will be blessed. A nation which rejects godly principles will be cursed. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 12 talks about a nation that will be blessed by following godly principles. Deuteronomy 28:12, Moses said, "The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them." And however, a nation that violates God's principles instead of being blessed will be cursed. If you flip over in that same chapter to verse number 43, we read, "The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded thee." We've been printing a lot of extra dollars, and printing a lot of extra dollars makes dollars less valuable. The solution is repentance and fiscal discipline, and seeking to obey God. Most Americans have been living according to that which is right in their own eyes, and the government is reflecting the population. You say, "Who am I? What can I do in light of all this that's going on in our country, this situation?" Well, God's got a promise for us. He says, "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Amen. That's in the Bible. So don't feel helpless. There is hope if we do what's right ourselves. And no matter what happens in our country, we need to do what's right ourselves. Amen? Amen. And so we're going to talk about that this morning in the area of finances. Spending in most American households has outpaced income. This is a guaranteed recipe for stress-filled living. Somebody said, credit is what keeps you from knowing how far past broke you are. Research indicates that most households spend 8 to 10% above what their income is. No matter what their income level, they spend 8 to 10% above. Wisdom would dictate that we invert that situation. Don't you agree? We should spend less than what we make, not more than what we make. And this takes discipline, especially if you've diminished your income through credit buying. The solution can only be found in living as though you had less income than you actually had. Howard Dayton of Crown Financial Ministries states that, quote, for over 250,000 Americans, the burden of debt is so great that they've declared bankruptcy. Even worse, financial tension created by debt has caused 56% of all divorces. I read about a guy who came to his boss and he said, I need a raise. He said, by the way, several companies are after me. He said, well, yeah, what companies? He said, well, the gas company, the electric company, the telephone company. More money won't solve the problem in most of our homes. It needs to be that we solve the problem through fiscal responsibility, through personal discipline. And if you live at your income, that's a guarantee for stress-filled living. You rob yourself of financial peace, and you doubtless are robbing God. Don't say if we only could make more. The issue is if we only would spend less. The culture is telling us to live above the financial limits that we should set for ourselves. We need to develop a plan, track where our money is going, start giving something now, and start saving something now. Write down Proverbs 21, verse 20. It says this, there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. A modern translation says, the wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets. J.P. Morgan said, when it comes to money, the way to be wise is to be a saver. And he said, here are four simple rules that'll help you in saving. Start early. Today is the day to start your savings program. Save a definite amount. Save regularly and systematically. And employ your savings productively. Develop a debt retirement plan. Simple way to gain more freedom. Develop a lifestyle reduction plan. It's called a budget. It's not your money. You're a money manager of God's money. It's God's money if you're a Christian. That's why when you die, guess what? You won't take it with you. Did you know that? You leave it. It's God's money. And He's entrusted it to you, and He's entrusted it to me, and He said, here's the money that I want you to manage. Manage it the way I tell you, and I'll bless you. There should be no mystery in marriage about money. That shouldn't be something that causes battles. We should be on the same page together. By the way, you ought to purchase the Family Financial Workbook. It's free online. You can buy that through Crown Ministries. There's an address back in the hospitality center if you need it. The Family Financial Workbook. And free online, you can have. There's a calculator if you have the internet, and there's a money map that you can also access through Crown Ministries. And again, the address is in a brochure back on the hospitality center table. But stressor and confusion are multiplied when you have no idea how much money you have, where your money's going. You don't have any plan. It's kind of like my desk when I get everything scattered all over the desk and my secretary has to come in and say, Dad, we need to fix this desk up a little bit. And she helps me. My wife does the same thing too. I'm a pack rat. I just put things all over the place and store everything. I've got stacks here and stacks there. It's just a wonderful state of confusion. But when I get organized, I feel a whole lot better. I feel a whole lot more in control. I feel a whole lot more secure and have stability. And it's that way with most of us, I think. Generous giving breaks the power of money in our lives. We should start giving before we have surplus. Don't squeeze God out of your life. He's saying, trust me with your finances. Put me at the top of your spending and I'll bless you. Strategic giving allows God to work freely because it puts Him in charge rather than you being controlled by greed. Jesus said, you can't really serve me if money has a grip on your heart. You can't serve God in money. Can't do it. You've got to put your confidence in the Lord. I've seen my Heavenly Father work, and most of you could say I've seen Him work too. Especially when things are tight, and I've honored the Lord, and I've given to missions, and I've given my tithe, and I've honored Him with the amount of money that He's put on my heart to give. I've seen God work and provide miraculously. Many of you are saying today, I wish God would work miraculously in my life. I wish I could see God do something that I knew that's God. But you're holding back from giving what God has told you to give. That just doesn't make sense. If you want to see God work miraculously, then give faithfully, give consistently, and God will work in your life. He'll help you. He's guaranteed it. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. That's Jesus' words. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. He'll use men to give to you if you'll give faithfully. You know, it's ungodly to think it's all mine and I'll do whatever I want with it. It's not yours, it's God's. All of it's God's if you're a Christian. Malachi 3, if you'll turn over there with me. Malachi chapter 3, God says to the children of Israel, 100 or so years after the captivity that they'd been in, they started to take back money that God had told them that He wanted them to give to Him and to the support of His house, His temple. They started to hold back their money and they started to move away from God. And God said, return unto me in verse 7, and I will return unto you. And they said, wherein shall we return? And we haven't gone anywhere. Well, then God says, will a man rob God? In verse 8, yet you've robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? Well, in tithes and offerings. Verse 9, you're cursed with a curse. You've robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God's saying, if you want to prove me, if you want to see me work in your life, if you want to see the demonstrations of my active presence in your life, prove me with money. Your Heavenly Father is saying, you've consumed what was ordained to support the house of God and the upkeep of the poor. I've withdrawn my blessings from you because you've consumed the finances that I gave you for the support of my kingdom work. By the way, who's in charge of your ability to prosper economically? It's God who gives you power to get wealth. It's God who gives you your job. It's God who provides you the skill to be able to work and the health to be able to do so. Imagine that you have some extra money and you have somebody that comes to you and they say, I need you to help support me. And you say, all right, I'll do that for you. In fact, I'm going to ordain this company that'll provide your food and give that to you. I want you to do this one thing for me. I want you to give 10% of your money to this company on a regular basis of the money that you have coming into your household, and you hold back that money and you don't give it. Pretty soon this benefactor is going to say, well, if you're going to withhold that money, then I'm not going to help you. I'm not going to give to you in the same way that we agreed upon. Now we ask you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now we're going to get into the sermon, so let's look there. Don't worry, we won't be too long. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. How can a Christian ensure that he serves God rather than money? That's an important question to answer. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 7. Paul cites the Macedonians and their generosity. And in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 8, he says, "Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and in utterance and in knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also," this grace of giving. He's commending the church at Philippi for their generosity in giving. So he says, use them to provoke you to do the same thing. So number one, give generously. Give generously. Don't withhold, but give generously. God loves a cheerful giver. And then he says in verse number 8, "I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others." So give with others. There are other people that are doing that are trusting the Lord, and you can do the same thing. And then he says in verse 8, to prove the sincerity of your love. Give out of love. Give because you love the Lord, and you honor Him, and you love Him, and that's why you're giving. Verse number 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich." Give like Jesus. Give like Jesus. God is a giver. Amen? So we should be givers. God so loved that He gave, and so we ought to give. Let's perform an experiment. Would you all stand with me, please? Let's do a little experiment. Here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to go around to those in your area there. We'll take a couple minutes to do this. And collect as much money as you can. Don't wait a minute. Now, don't give away the money that you collect. You keep it. And, I don't know what you want to give. You might not want to give a $100 bill. But, maybe I brought a little change with me. You could give that. Maybe you've got a dollar bill. I don't know. But you go around to those next to you, and you ask them to give you some money. Let's do that. Go ask somebody next to you to give you some money. All right. I think I've created pandemonium. Okay. All right. Okay, some of you are smiling. Others of you look like you've got a tear in your eye. All right, now we got one more experiment. We're not done yet. Wait a minute. Here's what we're going to do now. Now what we're going to do, instead of asking for money, we're going to give money. So you don't have to ask. We're going to give money, okay? So now go around and just see who you can give some money to. Let's spend a minute or two doing that, okay? It's a scripture that says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. That's the whole reason that I had you do that. Just to remind you that there's joy in giving, amen? And some have given generously to me. I got a whole pocket full of money. This is wonderful. But, you gave it away, right? Or you didn't. There wasn't just an experiment. It was for real. I mean, that's. But if somebody needs the money back, you come and let me know, and I'll return it. Take my wife to lunch. I think I have enough to do that pretty much. There's one more passage here, one more verse, and that's where Paul said, "Herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago." In other words, give with a plan. That's why we have an annual Faith Promise Missions commitment. That's why we have an annual recommitment to tithing and giving to the house of the Lord. So give with a plan. I think that's important. And I think there's a way to illustrate that Andy Stanley used in our small groups that was very clear and very helpful. So would you bear with me for about a 5-minute little video segment, and let's watch Andy Stanley teach about the use of giving and how it can be a blessing to our hearts.
That amount of money. Here's what you've done. Now you have a picture of where you need to get to financially in order to have margin in your finances. Now you have a picture of where you need to be. You can't go there overnight. You can't go there a week or a month. But now you set some goals. We want to get ourselves to a place where we can save 10% or 20% or 5%. We want to get ourselves in a situation where we can give away 5% or 10% or 20%, whatever it might be. And now you know that you've got to get back yourself into a situation to where you have financial margin. Now you have a goal. The fourth step then is to come up with a plan. In other words, now that you've got a career goal, that'll be kind of a fun thing to do and exciting things to do. You need to
move ahead a little bit.
So then you've got to come up with a plan. How do we get from where we are, where we have little or no margin, to a place where we possibly have 20 or 30% margin? Imagine that. Where we're saving a lot, we're giving a lot, we've got margin. How do we get there? So here's some things that need to be a part of your plan. The first one is so important, I almost wish we could spend an entire Sunday talking about it, because it's such an incredibly important thing, especially for Christians to do. And I meet more and more people who don't do this. Some of you have such little money, you think I don't need to track it. Some of you have so much money, you say, I've got so much margin, it doesn't matter. But part of your plan needs to be to track where your money is going. You need some sort of, it's so simple now, equipment or computer.
You need to move ahead to the place where he talks about the bills.
Within the limits the culture pushes me to, which is I'm number one. If I don't have the cash, right and this right, you're going to have more of these and margin and peace. To which we said, yeah, you are really smart. Well, that's unbelievable. And look how much I have left over. And peace and margin. I want to tell you this is an interesting fun fact. Did you know that the people of this church who gave to the...
He's going to give the statistics on their church if everybody gave a tithe to the Lord. I did the same thing based on his discussion of that. And just computing the average income in the Western Massachusetts, in the Springfield area, just Springfield's proper, city proper, if all the families of our church gave a faithful tithe, we would have an additional $800 a week, at least. That's a minimum amount. So 8 fives are 40, that'd be at least $40,000 a year. That's a good chunk of money. We could do a lot more with that, amen? We could put the air conditioners in, which we're going to do this spring. We could revamp a lot of things in the building that we've needed to do. But we got all the money we need, just that it's in your pocket. But seriously, it is a blessing to give. Giving is a spiritual issue. I hope we can see, if there's anything we can see today, we need to see that. Giving is a spiritual issue, and it's important for us to recognize that God is our supplier. So let's begin. If you look at that insert in your bulletin there, let's begin saving. Every family ought to save at least $1,000 to begin with. Have $1,000 set aside. If you make $20,000 or less, at least $500 set aside. That's what Dave Ramsey recommends that you begin with, and I think that's a good beginning if you would start out by doing that. But begin saving, begin giving generously, and support missions, and God will honor that. The Bible says that he'll provide for all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Seek the Lord's guidance on how much you should give for missions. Over and above your support of the work here. If you can trust Jesus with your eternal soul, surely you can trust Him with finances. Amen. Amen? So let's bow for a word of prayer together. Father, we thank You for the scriptures that we've looked at today. We thank You for the prodding that Your Holy Spirit does in our lives and for the realization that You are our supplier, that You are, as You've told us, our Heavenly Father, and we're Your children. And so just like we're supposed to provide for our own, we know that You'll provide for us. And we trust You with all of our hearts. We trust You for our country, but we know that we have great power as we obey You, and that the healing of our land depends upon the right relationship of the believers of any land toward their Heavenly Father. And so we pray today that You'd work in our hearts. And there's one here that's never made You their Father by receiving Jesus Christ, who died for them, was buried, and rose again. I pray that today would be the day of their salvation, that they would take Jesus as the gift of God, as eternal life in Him. And I pray that Christians would step out by faith and start faithfully giving and also faithfully saving and ordering their finances in a way that's more pleasing in Your sight. Bless us, we pray. We need Your blessing. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's